welcome to episode 81 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, that is yet another new voice that you're hearing for the podcast. Your name, sir?
Kyle Norman.
This is Kyle Norman. This is the famed Kyle Norman.
I was dubbed as Kyle number two in an earlier episode, so.
But now the other Kyle's gone, so this is kind of like your prize from the first beer knife fight when you beat him and we said that you would basically behead him and take his spot. So here you are for some episodes taking his spot. It has come to fruition, if you will.
It's perfect. I love it.
And it's in an interesting setting. We're actually recording this episode in the next few episodes at Rehoboth Beach in Delaware. Yes, that is where the Dogfish Head Brew Pub is, everyone. Don't get too jealous. Okay, do. That's fine. Get jealous. That's good. We were there, and that's another episode, though, where we'll talk about our experiences with that. So, we're here. Kyle Norman, he's going to taste some beers. He's going to understand what the blind beer tasting's all about pretty soon here.
I got to tell you, it's killing me not to smell these beers in front of me, though.
Yeah, we already have the beer sitting in front of us. We actually also have a warm-up beer, but first, you know what we need to do. It's time for a little hop knowledge at the beach.
I wish you guys were here to watch the little dance that he does, too. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I always get it. I talk with my hands a lot, so people, you know, just kind of know that insert hand gestures, whatever you feel like when you're listening and be like, yeah, he's making hand gestures. And just when I'm normally talking, too, you know. But the hop knowledge, it gets like a little jig, you know, a little bit of a dance going on. So today's hop is the Magnum hop, not to be confused with the condom, but it might be a large hop, I don't know.
We can hope.
At any rate, it is from Germany. The description for it, it's delicate, floral, and fruity. Details for it is bred at the Hall Hop Research Institute, main high alpha acid variety grown in Germany, and it's limited acreage in the United States when it's in production. Used primarily for bitterness. Some substitutions for this one would be Columbus hops, Horizon hops, and Nugget hops. A few examples, two examples of beers that use Magnum. Polliner's Premium Pilsner is one, as well as Lazy Magnolia's Southern Pecan, which I have had the Southern Pecan. It's been a long time, some time ago when I was in Florida, I believe.
I've had Polliner before. I don't know if I had that specific one, but Polliner's a good German beer.
Yeah, Polliner's, I'm pretty sure, all over the United States at this point.
Yeah.
It's one of those German beers where they're like, shove it in your face. It's Polliner and it's Hocker Shore and Weinsafaner and, you know, all that goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So, very cool. So, Kyle, you provided a warm-up beer for us here.
I did. Actually, one of my buddies from school went down to Virginia and picked up a Hardywood Hoplar Imperial IPA for me. So, Matt, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
I will thank you as well. Thank you, Matt. I haven't tasted it yet, but I assume it'll be at least decent.
I hope so. I've never had anything aged on poplar wood before. I've had lots of wood-aged beers, but never poplar.
People who have listened to all the episodes, Kyle, you have, know my love for certain beers with wood aging. Oak barrel aged beer is amazing. You know, Cigar City doing things with wood in their beers always tastes so great. You know, Rebecca's love of the Tony Janus Pale Ale aged with, I believe, white cedar wood. God, it just imparts such an interesting characteristic to the beers. So I'm excited. I'm excited to give this Hoplar Imperial IPA a bit of a go. So let's go ahead. Let's start sniffing it, see what we think. Okay. I smell stinky, dank hops.
Yeah.
Man, those hops are like a little bit of that kind of skunkiness that you associate with extremely hoppy beer.
There's definitely a skunkiness on this.
Yeah, which is a little interesting to me just because typically when I think there's like wood in a hoppy beer, I think that it's kind of going to round that off. But we'll see if it does that in the flavor.
Some of that little funk might be coming from the poplar too.
Yeah, that is possible. It is vegetal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It just smells hoppy and...
hoppy and wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it just smells hoppy to me and like resiny.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I'm smelling any wood right in there.
In honor of Kyle, a little bit of perm juice in there.
Thank you. Yes. Kyle Harris, there you go. Right. Kyle Norman has thrown a shout out to you.
I had to get that in there for you, Kyle.
Perfect. All right, I'm ready to try this.
Cheers, man.
Yeah, let's actually cheers then.
Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. A bit syrupy. A
little bit.
What's the ABV on this?
8.5. Yeah,
8.5%. Honestly, with the bit of syrupiness to it, I would assume that the alcohol percentage is a little bit higher, but it's not a bad thing. Mm-mm. I'm still enjoying it. It's definitely quite hoppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bottle says it's 100 IBUs. That seems about right.
This is very drying in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, this is a little odd. And I know people are going to laugh about this at some point, but...
That's what makes the podcast great, though.
Yeah, exactly. When I'm drinking it, it might have to be because I know that there's wood in it, but it's feeling like I kind of have, like, splinters of wood on my palate. Not in the way that it, like, hurts, but you know, like, the texture that you would get of wood? I don't know if anyone's had wood in their mouth. That didn't sound right. That goes with the Magnum hop.
We're just going to pass over that there.
No, but it's like, yeah, it's kind of like if you put a piece of wood in your mouth, like the texture.
I'm going to laugh every time you say that, just so you know.
That's fine. The texture and that's my shout out to Kyle, wood in your mouth. Okay. Kyle Harris, wood in your mouth. But yeah, like the texture you would get of putting a piece of wood in your mouth and just kind of like feeling the grain of the wood on your tongue. I feel like that's what the drying of the beer is making my tongue feel like.
Okay. So you're talking not so much the wood itself, but more like a dust, like a sawdust.
Yeah, actually, kind of that's probably a much better way to put it. Yes. Yeah.
I don't get a whole lot of wood off of this. I mean, maybe poplar's not as strong of a flavor as oak or...
It's possible. I'm thinking that the finish is kind of what the wood is.
Yeah, that
for my palate.
Yeah. It's definitely drying. Definitely drying. You can definitely feel that on the back of your tongue.
And I don't think that 8.5% alcohol, like that level of alcohol, is going to cause that amount of drying naturally. So I'm assuming that's what the wood's doing to it.
It's kind of a nice dry finish.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it.
It is. It's there aren't any like real intense flavors that linger too long. Mm-hmm. I'd say like the hoppy resininess like lingers for a little bit. But then once the drying feeling on the palate completes itself, those flavors are gone.
Yeah. I do get a little bit of sweetness right there in the middle, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that up front is just nothing but hops, but then you get a little sweetness in the middle.
Talking maybe like a raisiny type sweetness or like a fig or something like that.
Yeah, like a dark fruit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a little bit of that in the middle, and then the end is definitely that dry wood aged.
It's a nice sipping beer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to go hard on this one because of like how syrupy and resiny it is. Mm-hmm. This is a nice evening sipper, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And yet another wood-aged or wood-brewed beer that, mm-hmm. that I've not tried yet, so very excited about that.
This would be great around a campfire.
Oh.
Sit around a campfire, drink one or two of these.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful.
Definitely. I would actually also submit that drinking something like Dino S'mores around a campfire, if you can ever get a hold of Dino S'mores. Have you heard of Off Color Brewing out of Chicago area, Illinois?
I'm not real familiar with most of the Chicago beers. I gotta make a trip out of there.
Man, they have amazing stuff coming out of there. I've been able to get some online, and then that place we talked about, Red Lion, and in Red Lion, Golden Crust Pizza, they get some good stuff from time to time, and they had a Dino S'mores on tap. And Off Color's pretty small, so I was very surprised they got them. But we tried the Dino S'mores, and it was, oh my god, it tastes like graham cracker, chocolate, and marshmallow. Like it really, as close as you can get in a beer, that's what it tasted like. So I would say anyone out there can get a hold of Dino S'mores by Off Color Brewing around a campfire. It would just be like having liquid s'mores with alcohol. So nice.
Alcohol makes everything better.
Especially if you're an adult. Not if you're a child.
Yeah.
Don't drink if you're underage.
Well, what's that Futurama quote? Beer's very, very bad until you turn 21, and then it becomes very, very good.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Mr. Rowe.
Kyle, you, sir, I would like to know, How'd you get into craft beer originally? It's the obligatory question.
Yeah. You gotta ask. You gotta find out. It's almost 10 years now that I've been into craft beer. I didn't get into beer at all until I was 21.
Hmm.
And my one buddy, Brandon Spiegelmeyer, for my 21st birthday, was like, you gotta come out. You gotta come out with us, have a couple beers. And I'm like, all right.
You gotta bong some Natty Ice. Let's do this.
Luckily, he was not one of those guys. He was a craft beer drinker from probably before he was 21. So he took me to this little bar, Zeno's, in State College. If you guys ever get to State College, go to Zeno's. It's a wonderful bar. It's right underneath the corner room. It's in a basement. They usually play like blues and, you know, easy listening music like that. But they have, you know, 1,000 different beers at any one time, or hundreds of beers at any one time. It's wonderful. It's I believe their slogan is located directly above the center of the earth. So if you're anywhere in that general vicinity, look it up. But he took me there, and the first two beers that he bought me were Bellhaven Scotch Ale.
Okay.
Which was fantastic. Because up until that point, you know, the only beer I'd ever had was Busch and Busch Light and Bud Light. And
going to a Scotch Ale from that kind of stuff, that's a pretty big leap.
Yeah, but I hated that other stuff, though. The other stuff was terrible.
And that's... So when you first had this Bellhaven Scotch Ale, were you just kind of like, I didn't know beer could be like this?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know beer had flavor.
That's typically amazing. What happens with people. You know, it's ingrained in their mind that things like, you know, Natural Light or Budweiser or whatever is how all beer tastes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when someone introduced them to some sort of craft beer, then people are like, hold on a second. This is totally different than everything I thought beer was. Mm-hmm. And they get a little bit confused at first about it. And then that's kind of like opening the door for people to be like, well, let me see what else is available in this craft beer community.
Yeah. And then after the Bellhaven came Newcastle, which, you know, is a pretty run-of-the-mill brown.
That's a good starter.
It's a great starter. And so Bellhaven's a good starter as an introductory beer, too. Most people get started off with like wheats.
Yeah.
Find as a good introduction beer. Especially, that's what I did with my wife.
Yeah, I think...
She started off with wheats.
For me, what got me... I needed a little bit between, like, the Budweisers and Coors Lights and stuff and getting into the wheats. And I went the route of, like, some Killian's Irish Red and Bass and some Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then from there, I ended up with... Franciscaner. As well as
another good German
Hoegaarden
beer.
Belgian style, and then it went from there, and then I was just like, wait a second, there's other beers.
My only problem with Newcastle, I wish they would put their beer in a brown bottle, because that clear bottle just lets in light and just I've had some pretty skunky Newcastle before.
Well, it's like Heineken, you know, it's not in a clear bottle, but green isn't all that great either. What are you doing? If you're going to have it in a bottle, have it in a brown bottle.
Yeah, or
better yet, please just put it in a can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
and date code. Date code, please. Everybody date code if I can't, you know, get that home enough.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate here.
Uh-oh.
I agree. There are some beers that need to have a date code. Like the Stones Enjoy By series, which I just picked up one. That any hoppy beer, any hop front forward beer needs to have a date code. But a good beer is a good beer regardless if it's a week after the date code, during the date code, or a year after the date code.
Right.
Because beer never technically goes bad.
Right.
But it'll get weird flavors.
Optimal.
A good beer is a good beer, regardless.
I hear you, but optimal flavor-wise?
Yeah.
You know, when a brewery puts a certain product out, and I guess it's totally just on them. Do they want you to taste their product as they want it to be tasted? In which case, put a date code on there. You can either do a drink by, you know, like Stones Enjoy By, or you can do a brewed on and then maybe put something on there. Like I know Maine Beer Company, you know, they say, have a little thing saying best consumed within 90 days of bottling, and then they have the bottling date. So you have to do a little bit of work to figure that out. If you're not good at math, then sorry, you might be in trouble with that. But you're like, why does this beer taste like crap? Oh, maybe because it's, I can't even figure out how old it is.
Yeah. I agree. There are some beers that need to be drank by a certain date, but there's other beers that, look at barley wines. Look at, you know, a lot of heavier alcohol stuff like this Hoplar would probably be good, you know, in another couple months with no problem.
I agree with that. But also, playing devil's advocate to the devil's advocate.
All right.
From the standpoint of people who might want to age beers and maybe do some experimentation to figure out where the optimal flavor is, if there's a bottling date on there, it's easy for you to be like, okay, this is when this was bottled. And then you can get numerous bottles, age them, try them at different times, and see what's great. And I know, I know some breweries actually do that themselves, just to kind of figure out when the optimal flavor is for the, for their beers, and when they want it to be just done. You know, when do they recommend that people might toss this beer because it's just not going to be so hot.
Yeah.
So, but you, you know, so you get into craft beer, and what do you remember as being like the first, oh my god, like craft beer that you had? If there is any, or a few.
You're not talking like my Belhaven and my Newcastle. You're talking like little local microbrew. Yeah. Probably Straub.
Straub.
Out of St. Mary's.
Which I've not had any Straub.
I brought you down an IPL. Yes. I hope you like it. Straub's a little brewery out of St. Mary's. It's in the middle of Pennsylvania where there's nothing else around it. It is the only brewery within probably an hour and a half of me. And it's about 45 minutes for me. So, I mean, I live out in the middle of nowhere. So, craft beer is pretty hard to come by for me. But Straub's a great beer. They, Straub's one of those beers you either love it or hate it. People either go crazy for it and drink it all the time and that's all they drink, or they absolutely despise it and they can't not stand it. They just make a traditional lager. That's what kind of got me into Straub. I liked their Straub lager. And then they made a Peter Straub Special Dark, which was wonderful. It was it's a great summer beer. It's a great anytime beer. I always have it in my basement, but a lot of people, going back to the wood in your mouth, they called it, you know, since it's Peter Straub's Special Dark, a lot of people would say, you know, I'd like to suck back a Dark Peter and all sorts of stuff like that. So they changed the name. It's actually now called like American Amber or something like that. So
nice.
Yeah, but it's still the same beer, just different bottle. It still tastes good, so I still always have it in my basement. So that might be my introduction into craft brewing. Other than that, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
Maybe Trogues.
Yeah.
Because Trogues is pretty available in most areas in Pennsylvania. So
you have to go, how long do you have to travel to get where you like to buy beer? You have a House of 1,000 Beers, is that what it's called?
God, yeah. House of 1,000 Beers, I call it Mecca.
Okay, Beer Mecca.
You have to make a trip there at least once in your life.
And when you get there, do you fall to your knees and start, you know, praising the Mecca?
Yeah. You thank Dave on your way in. He's the guy that owns it. There is actually a little place about 15 minutes from me. It's like a Super Subs and Six Packs or something. They're just kind of, they have a decent selection, but a lot of their stuff I've already had. But it seems like every time I go in there's more and more. But yeah, the House is probably the closest place to me. That and State College. And both those places are an hour and a half. So, I mean, I got to travel a decent distance just to pick up decent beer.
So when you go, you probably stock up hardcore.
Oh God, yeah.
Like I'll take this and I'll take that, and kid in a candy store type thing, and then
it's worse because it's more expensive than candy.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing. You're saying that some of these bottles are like very expensive when in most other states they're really not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I remember you telling me that like most 12-ounce bottles are around like $4 for one.
Yeah, that's about an average. You can find some that are $3, but most of the time I'm paying, you know, $4, $5, $6.
That's crazy. Because I'll tell you, in Maryland, when you buy singles, sometimes you can get singles around like $1.50, $2.
Oh, God. That would be amazing.
Yeah. So people like myself and anyone listening who has easy access to craft beer that's not way expensive.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, exactly. Feel lucky. Because that's one of the things, like, with a lot of things in life, honestly, people take things for granted, you know, and within the beer community, I think people start to really take for granted, like, how much amazing beer you can get, and it's right there. You know, with me, in order to get to a good liquor store, I have two good liquor stores within 5 minutes of me.
Oh,
like,
God.
Really good ones. Yeah. And it's not way expensive. So if I'm feeling squirrely and I'm like, I don't really like all of, I don't like what I have in my, in the beer cellar in my fridge or whatever, which Rebecca would say blasphemy because we have way too much beer at the house as it is.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Yeah. I can just be like 5 minutes. I can just go grab some stuff, come back. You know, there's a huge selection. Just look at the wall and figure out what you want. Yeah. But that's gotta be rough having to like really stock up.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine that when you get those hoppy beers, you get a bunch of hoppy stuff and you get other things, you'd really have to plan ahead and be like, okay, the hoppy stuff has to be consumed within X amount of days. Everything else I can let sit for a little bit.
Rough. Yeah, and growlers. The only place that I can get a growler is at Super Subs. And it's, again, it's, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes for me.
Yeah.
But even to get a growler somewhere is, you know, Monroeville, Pittsburgh, State College, which there's a bunch of new breweries opening up at State College. There's three or four in the area now, which is cool. Because it's relative, well, I say it's relatively close. An hour and a half is relatively close, but you're talking about liquor stores that are 5 minutes from you.
Yeah.
But
two that are really good.
Yeah. So
it's rough.
Yeah. So any of you people out there that live where Carlin does or somewhere near a liquor store, be thankful.
Yeah.
Be thankful you're not into craft, you know, not in craft beer where you can't get it.
Yeah. Regardless of what you think, there are areas that are craft beer wastelands. You know, there's not a whole lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you go to a restaurant near my house and you say, what's on draft? And they always start off with Bud Light, Miller's Light, Coors Light. And you say, well, what else you got? Well, we got like a Sam Adams Boston Lager. And
any other craft beer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Sam Adams Boston Lager.
Sam's about it. Yeah. if I'm lucky, I can find like a, you know, a Dogfish Head 60 Minute or something like that. But it's hard to find good beer in my area.
I remember those days, actually, a bunch of years back where I would go around me to bars around me and in the Baltimore area and stuff and just be like, you know, what craft beers do you have? And that Boston Lager and then maybe like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I was just like, when are they going to catch on? Like, there are these nice craft beers out there, but it's very different in the scene now. So
Nothing against Boston Lager. It's a decent beer, but
it is for what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, if you want a variety, that's not giving you a variety.
Yeah.
So. But awesome. Thank you for sharing your tales of beer woes and
no problem.
making everyone feel so much better about themselves, craft beer-wise. Yeah. So we have, it's that time. We have mystery beers in front of us. You said that you were trying to fight sniffing these. So
they've been calling my name.
Yeah, it's time. And, you know, let's point out off the bat, they couldn't be any different coloration-wise. Yeah.
One's a nice, beautiful straw color.
Yes.
A is a nice, beautiful straw color, and B, you can't see light through. I mean, if you hold it up to a window, there's nothing coming through B, but A is a beautiful golden color, which is nice. I kind of like it.
There's a slight head on A. The head on B, though, the dark one, is pretty decent just around the lip. If you swirl it just a little bit, it kicks up real fast. Slightly tan head to it.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Yeah, A is nothing but a white head.
Yeah, and it's small.
Yeah, all right, let's sniff these bad boys.
Ooh, that is an interesting smell on A.
It smells like wheat.
Yeah, it does smell weedy, orangey.
What is this cup and swirl thing that you keep talking about?
Yeah, you it's going to be hard. We're actually using wine glasses here because we're in a condo, yeah. And it's kind of like, what can we use?
Kind of what we have.
There's no pint glasses, but wine glasses actually work quite well for tasting beer, so anyone out there, try it with a wine glass. But when we were doing the cup and swirl, we actually just put our hand over top and swirl it a little bit to catch the aroma, and then you just get your nose close. Gotcha. But yeah, this smells like wheat and orange.
Oh yeah,
like very orangey. Yeah.
Lemon.
Yeah, some lemon in there too.
I'm getting lemon.
Lemon, orange, wheat.
Yeah, yeast.
Oh yeah, yeast.
It is a filtered beer though. It's not. Well, it's maybe not. It is a little bit cloudy. It's fairly clear, I guess.
It's smelling quite refreshing for the environment we're in right now on the beach.
Yeah, because it's hot as hell outside.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a breeze out there, but I don't like the beach.
Yeah.
Why am I at the beach? Family.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens.
The only reason I agree to come to the beach is because Dogfish Head and cheap beer. Yeah. So.
That is the only way that Rebecca gets me to Rehoboth Beach is promising we can go to the Dogfish Head Brew Pub. But we'll talk about that on the next episode.
Yeah, we won't get into it.
Let's taste beer.
All right.
Immediately wheaty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like wheat like crazy. The citrus I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, a little lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Little orange
peel.
Yeah.
Not so much the juice, more the peel because it's
definitely
just a little bit bitter.
And I'm getting that yeasty flavor.
Oh yeah.
When you think wheat beers, you're usually going to taste that kind of yeastiness anyway.
Yeah, this is a pretty typical wheat beer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot standing out for me. Not a whole lot that's different or screaming at me, but...
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's very refreshing.
I'm enjoying it. Yeah, it is refreshing. I feel like it's a tad astringent on the finish.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't get any of that.
Hmm.
I was actually thinking this was probably a lower alcohol beer.
It might be, but...
Like a 4 or 5.
for some reason, like, the lingering flavors on my tongue are kind of a bit astringent. I don't know. That's just what I'm picking up on it. I feel like for this style, it's tasting like it's a little higher in alcohol than I'm typically used to.
Yeah, I gotta disagree with you there, man. I don't get that.
You certainly can do that. You're the new Kyle, so
yeah.
He had done that in the past.
Yeah, I don't get any of the astringency, but it is a pretty nice beer, man.
It'll be interesting to see what the ABV is when it's revealed.
Yeah, it finishes pretty clean.
It does. Yeah, it does.
It doesn't linger. It doesn't.
I'm cool with it.
It's very nice.
I'm cool with that beer.
The wife would really like this one.
Would she?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cal would love this beer.
All right, too bad there won't be any. And I know she's going to listen to this, too.
Sucks to be her, I guess, is what it is.
This is what happens when you go out on the beach. You get sunburn and you get no good beer.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, lesson learned, right? All right, let's go on to B. Obviously, we said B was very dark-looking, so I'm assuming we're going to get, like, some roasty malts in there, some chocolatiness maybe. Maybe some coffee, which Kyle is not a fan of the coffee-ness.
There's a lot of roast in there.
Oh, very roasty.
Oh, my God, that smells delicious.
Ooh, man, I pull some caramel out of there.
Yeah, caramel malts.
A little vanilla-y to me, too.
A little vanilla.
And chocolate.
Definitely. You picked out the big three right there.
God, it really smells good.
Yeah. I can't. Are you getting a wee little bit of coffee in that, too?
Yeah, I can get a little bit.
I'm getting more roast than coffee, but
I think sometimes for me it's a little confusing, like, what's the roast and what's coffee.
Yeah.
I think typically you're going to smell maybe a little bit more of, like, the acridity that coffee has with the coffee notes, and you wouldn't really have that as much if you're just smelling kind of roast. But we're mainly going to suss that out on the flavor.
Oh, it smells so good. Can we taste it?
No.
Ah, come on. No.
And go. Okay. I just wanted to make you wait for a minute.
I think it tastes just like it smells.
It kind of, like, the mouthfeel to me is like it's on nitrogen. You've ever had, like, that real creaminess you get when beers are on nitrogen, it hits my palate so creamy.
It is a creamy beer. It's not nitrogen creamy, but it is a creamy beer. It's very smooth, very easy. A lot of roast.
That is
a lot of roast.
That is super smooth.
You brewed some of your own beer before, right?
One batch and it was awful.
Wow. Did you taste any of the malts?
Yeah.
Like, if you taste, like, a chocolate malt, that's exactly what this tastes like.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
It tastes like eating malt.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody homebrews out there, I highly recommend eating your ingredients before you brew with them. Just so you can see what the flavors are.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That way it's easier to pick some things out, too, when you're tasting.
Yeah. I typically eat things before I work with them, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, at my job, I'll, like, eat a part of my mouse pad, you know, just to know what I'm working on. Yeah, take a bite out of my desk.
Yeah, I work with kids, so I don't tend to eat.
You wouldn't bite your kid's hair off or anything?
I did have a kid eat some chalk one time, though.
Mm.
And sawdust.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Wow.
Actually,
I had a kid snort sawdust one time.
Ew. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
That probably hurt.
It was real fine sawdust, so I don't think it hurt, but he was sneezing it out. I told him he should snort some glue to absorb the sawdust. He didn't think I was too funny for that.
Nice.
That is a nice beer, though.
It is. I'm really digging the creaminess. The mouthfeel to me screams that it might be some sort of, like, oatmeal stout, potentially.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, the extra proteins that you get from oatmeal stouts kind of feels to me like this is the mouthfeel you're getting.
Yeah, I think you hit that one.
A little fatty. Chocolatey and, yeah, all the things we described on the nose. Roasty, a little caramelly, a little chocolatey, a little vanilla.
Yep, absolutely.
It's all coming together in that, and it's
That is a good beer.
It's not the most amazing, what I assume is either a porter or stout. I'm assuming it's like an oatmeal stout, in my opinion, but it's not the most amazing one I've had. I like a little more robust. This is a little more on the mild side with the flavors, but the flavors that are there are married pretty well, and I am really digging the creaminess on the mouthfeel. Yeah.
I know you're not a big fan of the Anderson Valley, the oatmeal stout.
I hate Anderson Valley.
I like the oatmeal stout from Anderson Valley. That's kind of what.
Yeah, I have had that one.
That's kind of what this reminds me of a little bit.
Is it?
I like the Anderson Valley oatmeal. I know you didn't like it when you had it, but I enjoyed it. Although I got to take a page out of what's that guy that you have on the podcast that mixes the two?
Mark.
Yeah, I might have to take a page out of Mark's book on this one.
You mix these?
Oh man.
Go ahead and get a glass.
Well, I'll use my.
Okay.
I finished my.
The Hoplar. Yeah, I actually still have a little bit of my Hoplar. I'll tell you, I'm always for people mixing beers. You know,
it'd be like a black and tan almost.
Yeah, kind of. Except you'd be mixing it. Usually they'll mix the black and tan. They lay one on top of the other.
What do they call it? Like a black and blue?
Yeah.
When they do like Blue Moon and Guinness.
All sorts of different versions. Okay, so it looks like mud.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little muddy there.
It up a little bit though.
I'm interested to see what you think of that. Is it going to be good?
Actually, it's not bad.
It's not bad or it's good?
It's actually pretty good because you do get some of that wheat coming through. It kind of cleans up the stout a little bit.
That got interesting.
It's not bad.
I do like the beer separate, though.
Yeah.
I prefer them separate. But yeah, you are correct. It's not terrible if you want to mix these two beers.
Yeah.
And, you know, people listening, I highly encourage you to, you know, mix your beers here and there if you're trying more than one at a time. Just see if there's anything crazy you can create. You know, there are a lot of breweries out there that from time to time will recommend doing some mixtures if they're not mixing their own beer for distribution. You know, we had Adam on and he was talking about the three beer blend that John Kimmich with The Alchemist did of Beelzebub, Focal Banger, and Heady Topper, you know, but you can do it on your own. And I know that Trogs doesn't do it for you, but they say you can make something called a Mad Dream where you take some Mad Elf and you take Dream some Weaver. Of their Dream Weaver and you mix that together. And they recommend that. So just try some stuff out, people. You can figure it out for yourself.
If you go back to one, I'm getting a little bit of banana off of that, too. Which is, you know, kind of typical of wheat. More off of the smell than off the taste.
Not really. Yeah, I could see a little bit. For me, it's more of like a banana chip type deal.
Yeah, like a dried.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and on the note of mixing beers, anyone out there, if you mix some beers and you find that any of them are good or particularly horrible, why don't you go ahead and send us an email, and we'll put it on the podcast. We'll give that recommendation out to people. Or if you want to say, caution, do not mix these, it will blow up in your face. We can do that as well. Just send an email to brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll go ahead and put that on. I'd love to hear some recommendations on mixing beers.
Yeah.
Even if it's bad.
You could do, like, designer beers, too. Like they do with the dogs. You know, bulldog and a shih tzu. We all know what that makes.
That's the bullshit.
Get some funny beer names. Put those together and see what you come up with.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I like it. Well, do you have any ideas what you're going to be interested in rating either of these beers?
Well, the scores are what I'm going to be... I'm going to have a hard time with them. Because, you know, being a teacher, neither one of these beers fail for me.
Yeah.
So, like, a 7 out of 10 is passing, but I'm going to brutal battle these scores.
Okay. A lot of people do. You don't have to. There's always that disclaimer, but a lot of people do.
I know, but I don't like to throw off here.
You
know, your scoring you already have in place, so.
Yeah.
Well, which one do you want to rate first, 1 or 2?
Let's go with A first. Let's go with A. And, yeah, you know, it's just easier to go A to B. I'm a little between two numbers at the moment. You want to take the lead or you want me to on A? Because I can go either way.
You take the lead on A, I'll take the lead on B.
Okay. One more sip A.
Oh, yeah.
I like some of what's going on in there. I recognize it's well done. But it's not crazy awesome for me either. I think the best I can muster for this one is a 3.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same.
Okay, that makes it easy.
Yeah, it's and again, this is brutal battle scores.
Yeah, in real life, that'd be what, a 6 for you?
In real life, it'd be probably a 7. 7 out of 10.
Okay, 7?
Because like I said, this beer does not fail. I would drink this beer again with no problem.
Yeah, but brutal battle is ridiculous and extremely brutal.
But again, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, it is what makes it fun.
Yeah, I would go with 3.
We got to leave that space at the top for when the Alchemist submits their beers for free for the competition. Nice. That's not actually happening. I'm just wishing it into fruition, hopefully. John Kimmich. Wait, if I say his name 3 times, will he appear?
You got to look in a mirror first, though.
Okay, I got to. Okay. And then it, like, Actually, I think if you do that and you say his name three times in the mirror, all of a sudden a case of Hetty Topper appears.
Oh, God. Are we going to talk about the Hetty Topper later on, too? Another episode?
Then, yep, one of the episodes to come. We will talk a little bit about some Hetty Topper.
Christmas came early.
Christmas did. You may take the lead on B here.
So B, I definitely like better than A. I'm not a huge wheat beer fan anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Wheat beers are, they're not bad. They're great for a nice hot day. But if you give me the choice between, you know, this light wheat beer and this nice dark stout or porter or whatever it is, I'm going to take the stout or the porter every time.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like it better than the first one. So I'm going to go 4.
Okay.
Because I like it. But it's just, it's still lacking something for me.
Yeah.
Lacking a little bit of body or something. It's still a very good stout.
It is good. And, this
would be like an 80% for me. So it'd be like an 8 out of 10 on my normal score. But I'm going to go 4.
Yeah. I was going to go 4 as well, actually. Which makes it very easy to average these suckers out. It is pretty good.
Peanut butter?
Yeah, you know what? When I went back and smelled it a little bit later, I felt like I was smelling a tad bit of peanut butter as well, but I didn't want to say anything because I was like, is that my nose kind of playing tricks on me?
I think I'm out now, but...
I don't think it's going
to... Do you want me to put a nipple on your beers? Because you're nursing those, buddy.
I always do. The other thing is this. I'm the host of this show, so I have to keep my wits about me. If I'm doing more than one episode, I have to make sure I'm directing things properly.
Yeah, but it makes it more fun when you get a little on the bag.
Correct. Go back to episode 12, and that is probably when I've been the most saucy. So everyone go ahead and go back to 12 and re-listen to it. I just admitted that's probably when I was most sauced.
Nice.
And I think you can kind of hear it, so just know that.
We'll keep it together well.
I try.
Let's reveal these bad boys.
All right, so one, the loser of the episode, but still solid beer.
Yeah, solid wheat.
Overall, 3 is...
I hope it's a wheat.
Yeah. Sawtooth Belgian White by Duclaw.
Close enough.
There you go.
Hey, Duclaw, good brewery.
4.8% alcohol, so when I was saying it was a little bit astringent, I was off on that.
I thought... Didn't I say somewhere between 4 and 5?
I believe you did. Yep, you got it.
Sweet.
They say this untamed Belgian-style white ale leads the pack with a nose of coriander, a bite of real... Curacao bitter orange. There's the orange peel.
Yeah.
And a crisp, clean finish that is sure to leave you howling for more. Howl for it. Yeah.
It's good beer.
Yeah, Sawtooth by Duclaw. Not to be confused with the Sawtooth beer by Left Hand Brewing, who they're going into a lawsuit over. So,
That's nice.
As someone who I will not reveal said to me recently... this is what Duclaw does. They sue people over things.
That's sad.
Yeah. But at the same time, as someone else described to me, you have to protect your brand. If you don't protect your trademarks and your brands, then there's going to be a history of you not doing it. So then if you really have to go to court, you might not have a strong case. So I understand both sides of it. I feel like, can't we all just get along? But on the other side of it, I feel like, okay, I kind of understand you have to.
Yeah. I thought the brewer community was pretty tight-knit, too.
Not always.
Not always?
There was one issue that I talked about a blow-up a bunch of episodes back. I'm not going to bring up who it was right now, but if people can sift through and find it, and there's kind of a reason I'm not bringing it up again, so people, you can also figure that out yourself as well. So, let's go ahead and... reveal B.
The winner of the episode.
Winner of the episode, but not...
With a total of 4.
With a total of 4, yeah. Not threatening that Racer 5 IPA by Bear Republic, which was sitting at a 7.
If this is Sweet Baby Jesus, I'm going to...
No, it can't be. It can't be. Like, I wasn't getting nearly enough peanut. Peanut butter is crazy in Sweet Baby Jesus. Yeah. It's all up in your nose. So B with an overall 4 is... Pearl Necklace Oyster Stout.
We missed the boat on that one.
Yes, we did. Where are the oysters? Ale brewed with oysters.
See, I didn't get any salt. I didn't get any oyster out of it.
Well, you know what? When I was saying oatmeal stout, because of like the proteins.
The creamy, yeah.
If it's brewed with oysters, that's where the protein's coming from.
Usually you get a little more salt than that, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I do think it's funny that earlier you were talking about having wood in your mouth, and now we get a pearl necklace later on in the episode.
Yeah, it all goes together, doesn't it?
Yeah, it all fits very well.
5.5% alcohol. This is by Flying Dog.
It's a good beer.
It is a good beer.
I've had it before. It's better on draft.
The proceeds,
most things are.
Yeah. Proceeds from the sales of this beer benefit the Chesapeake Bay Oyster Restoration. Oh, so cool. That is for a good cause. So everyone go out, buy some pearl necklace, have yourself a pearl necklace in whatever capacity, and you know, enjoy it.
You take that how you want to.
It's your life. Live it. You know?
Life's a garden, dig it.
Or it's an oyster farm sometimes. Yeah. So anyway, pretty good beers. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for coming on. We're sticking around. We're doing at least a few more episodes. So excellent. We'll be talking about some cool topics. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And everyone out there, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.